From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans as he brings the final portion of a message entitled Saluting Servants of the Gospel and Separating from Subverters, an exposition of chapter 16. Although this final chapter of Romans appears to be nothing but a list of names that have little relevance to the present-day Christian, Dr. Cairns is showing that there are important lessons in Paul's closing comments to the Roman believers. The chapter reveals that there were a number of churches in that great city, providing a powerful testimony in the midst of a pagan society. The Roman believers came from all classes of society, from noblemen to slaves, yet the churches were characterized by Christ-like love and unity. Paul takes time to express his gratitude to many who helped him in the gospel ministry. In addition, Paul reminded the Roman believers to manifest a cheerful and loving attitude toward the brethren at all times. The chapter also contains warnings against those who would subvert the gospel by promoting themselves or by causing divisions within the body of Christ. Paul's instruction is clear: avoid them. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying. Paul has four of these faithful sayings. The first occurs in 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The next is in 1 Timothy 4 and 6. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The third is in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. It is a faithful saying, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And the fourth is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 3. This is a faithful saying, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. We may trace a connection between these faithful sayings. The first one lays the foundation of our eternal salvation in the free grace of God, as shown to us in the mission of the great Redeemer. The next affirms the double blessedness which we obtain through this salvation, the blessings of the upper and nether springs, of time and of eternity. The third shows one of the duties to which the chosen people are called. We are ordained to suffer for Christ, with the promise that if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. The last sets forth the active form of Christian service, bidding us diligently to maintain good works. Thus we have the root of salvation in free grace, next the privileges of that salvation in the life which now is and in that which is to come, and we have also the two great branches of suffering with Christ and serving with Christ, loaded with the fruits of the Spirit. Treasure up these faithful sayings. Let them be the guides of our life, our comfort, and our instruction. The apostle of the Gentiles proved them to be faithful. They are faithful still. Not one word shall fall to the ground. They are worthy of all acceptation. Let us accept them now and prove their faithfulness. Let these four faithful sayings be written on the four corners of my house. Often have you passed a church displaying a sign which reads, "Revival," during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have even the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost, but down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the late 1940s and early 50s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not because of his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There is also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who were saved during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, simply send a check for either or both CDs to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may make your check out to Let the Bible Speak. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. You may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
you've recognized somebody as a subverter of the gospel, verse 17, there's only one thing to do: reject them. Avoid them. Turn away from them. Have nothing to do with them. The tense of the verb here, I think, gives the idea of a decisive act of rejection. Reject them. And it's not something that happens accidentally. This is a decisive, deliberate act of rejection. What does that mean? I remember years ago talking to a man, and I was putting pressure on him, an elder of a Presbyterian church in Northern Ireland, to learn the doctrine of separation. He got talking to a Christian of another denomination. He urged the same thing upon him, and he got very, very distraught and wondered, what should I do? And I heard him talking to a much more mature Presbyterian elder, and he said to him, what does this mean? Have no fellowship. Come out from among them. Reject them. Avoid them. What does it mean? And the older man said, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean what he said it means. I mean, where does it take any particularly wonderful intelligence to understand what the word avoid means? The word reject, the word turn away from. Certainly doesn't mean throw your arms around and say you're welcome. Let's sit down together at Holy Communion. Doesn't mean that. It means reject them decisively. Verse 19, he says, realize your vulnerability. This is a verse that has caused a lot of discussion. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. What's the significance? Be aware of these people, reject them, because your obedience has come abroad unto all men. What does that mean? I think the obvious meaning is probably the simplest and the best, and that is that your testimony makes you a certain target. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knows the stand you've taken. Everybody knows how you've stood for God and you've been blessed of God. Therefore, be aware the devil's going to be after you. The idea that you're going to take a stand for God and everything's going to go well and there'll never be a ripple upon the placid waters of life and everybody's going to pat us on the back and we're going to be blessed and happy all the day long, that's totally unbiblical. And it is totally improbable. If this church takes a stand for God, it's going to have more enemies the closer it gets to the Lord. The more it seeks to do for God, the more the enmity is going to rise against it. That's what Paul was getting over to these people. You're vulnerable because you are going to be a target. When you have a bunch of people like these that Paul has been mentioning, and you have a live church energetically pursuing the cause of Christ, as this church was doing, then that church has a target on it, and you may be certain that the enemies of the gospel will want to destroy it one way or the other. And the simplest way to destroy a church is insidiously to get into the inside, and from the inside, subvert the very message on which that church was based and on which its ministry is founded. Realize how vulnerable you are. Also realize this, and I think he's saying this, that you people have a desire for truth, and sometimes that makes you just a little too trusting. You don't believe everything you hear. You're just a little too trusting. I think there's that insinuation for these people. You've got to be careful, because in your desire for truth, you can open up your arms and you can receive a serpent right into your midst. Be very careful. Let the gospel govern all your reactions to all who come. Realize you're vulnerable and make sure that you're wise to the good and innocent, that is, without any admixture of any element that's foreign to the gospel as far as evil is concerned. Always remember, he says, verse 20, the real source of the enmity. The enmity of subverters is not human. It is ultimately satanic. And that's why he says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This enmity comes from the devil. Listen, as he says to the Ephesians, we're wrestling. The idea there is hand-to-hand combat. We're in close quarters fighting to the death. Not against flesh and blood. Oh, the devil has flesh and blood emissaries. But we're fighting against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're fighting against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. We are battling the powers of hell, the source of the enmity. Verse 20 also, however, rejoice in the sure and swift defeat of Satan and his hosts. This word, shortly, I don't think means immediately. I don't think it necessarily even means soon. I think the idea is that the Lord will, in His time, work, and when He works, He will work swiftly and work mightily and work effectively. Listen, we're on the victory side. This gospel that Paul has been expounding throughout the book of Romans, this gospel cannot fail. This gospel cannot fail to achieve what God has set out for it to achieve. And the church that is dedicated to the preaching of the gospel and the living of the gospel, as chapter 12, 13, 14, 15 have all been emphasizing, the church that's willing to preach the gospel and live the gospel cannot fail to do what the Lord intends it to do. Remember our victory. And in facing it all, verse 20, rest in the power of God's grace to face your foe. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The work that God has called us to is not an easy work. The day in which God has called us is not an easy day. And if I know anything about the teaching of God's word regarding the last days, I believe those days will get darker. The enmity will become more pronounced. The cost will become more demanding. The attacks will become more vicious. And the more human technology progresses, the more it will be, for the most part, subverted to be used for the furtherance of Satan's agenda. If you want to be a Christian today, you're not called to an armchair debate. You're called to contend earnestly for the faith. We have been through Romans, and what a wonderful gospel it presents. This gospel is worth contending for. This gospel is worth standing for. What Paul is saying here is, brethren, stand with those who stand for Christ, but never let us compromise with those who would subvert the gospel. Let us be the true servants of the Savior. Let us never sully His name or our testimony going along with those who are its foes. May God indeed teach us as a church what it is truly, honestly, genuinely to salute the servants. Not just the ministers, the preachers, the servants. Salute the servants. But may God give us backbones of steel as we separate ourselves from the subverters of the gospel of His dear Son. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, bless Thy word, we pray. Write it upon our hearts. Lord, make this church after the pattern of the church that we have read. Lord, make this congregation a congregation of people energized by the power of Thy Spirit, gripped by the love of Christ, motivated by our being in Christ, a body of people saved and kept who will be faithful, utterly, completely faithful to Christ and His gospel. O Lord, give us true consecration. Bless our fellowship as a church. Knit hearts and homes together in the love of Christ. O God, melt our hearts today. Forgive us for the coldness and the deadness. Forgive us, O God, for the disinterest. Forgive us, O Lord, for the sin of simply overlooking our brethren. We pray that Thou wilt grant to us the kind of church fellowship of which we have been reading. And, O Lord, take us up, keep us separated unto the gospel, faithful unto death, as we would exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear us now, O God, our Father, we pray, and part us with Thy very richest blessing. May the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace be our portion, the love of God fill our hearts, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep us close to Thee and to Thy people. We pray in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.